Thanks, Brent. Well, if my mother was still alive, I would have called her this morning and say, "Mother, what are you doing today?" She'd say, "Nothing, son. What about you?" I'd say, "Celebrating my birthday." "Is it your birthday today?" Birthdays weren't a big deal in our family. We didn't ever really celebrate them. Last night, my brother and sister-in-law, Dale and Sheila, Nancy and I went out to eat. So I really celebrated. At the restaurant, I said, "Could I have a Greg Norman, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, whatever that drink is called, half lemonade and half tea?" The girl said, "Yes, I'll get you a." She got me two. I was awake quite a bit last night. I think drinking too much tea late at night, just my mind just kept racing. So if I go to sleep, you guys stay awake. Now we'll be good. Someone asked me, OC started our classes a week ago Thursday. So we've had one full week of classes. I taught personal family finance last Sunday night and teaching it again tonight. The enrollment must not be record because it has not been announced. Usually if it's record, it's announced. If it's not, it's not announced. So I don't know what the enrollment is. But we have students back. We're ready to go. I think we have 13 students in quarantine right now. And so if they've been exposed to COVID, whatever, they go to certain rooms. We take them food and they isolate until they test again. I got probably 5 emails last night from students that said they've told me to be quarantined. I won't be there tomorrow night. So I have to do a thing on my computer where they can see the class, and I'm not good at that. Good luck to me. I hope that works, you know. But anyway, we're started again, and I'm really happy to be with you again today. Thank you for letting me be with you. From the scripture this reading this morning, well, you know, do you have songs that you sing that remind you of things? You can hear something from a long ago or see something. "Hosanna, you're my king." Brent, when you read that, do you know what I saw? I saw 4 little Aboriginal children that came to church with us. The mother was a heroin addict. Haley would go get them dressed for school as a junior in high school and a senior in high school, help them come to church. We would sing that song, and here's what they would sing. "Go Anna," to Big Lizard in Australia. They just heard "Go Anna" instead of "Hosanna." Haley would sit there, and they'd be singing their lungs out, "Go Anna." They didn't know what they were singing, but they were singing with all their heart. And I see that picture of Kayleen, Aaron, Angel, and Jamala, all us trying to help them and their family learn about God. Wow. Okay, our scripture reading this morning that we started with was Romans chapter 12. And guys, in Romans chapter 12, Paul is talking to us about each of us have talents and abilities and gifts. You've seen the show, You've Got Talent. Well, 29th and Yale, you've got talent, don't you? What is our talent and how are we using that talent? I'd like you to just kind of look at some of those things that Paul says in verse 6. In verse 5, we're all one body and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And again, if you have the gift of prophecy, if you have the gift of serving, if you have the gift of teaching, whatever it is of these gifts, Paul is encouraging us to use those to help the body of Christ. Isn't it good we don't all have the same gifts, talents, and abilities? Let me encourage you again, try not to be jealous of anyone else's. Don't try to think, "I've just got one measly little talent." If you do, just use it. And use it and use it. Do you look at some people and say, "Wow, that is a 5-talent person," or someone, "They are an 8-talent person"? Look at me. I'm just, whatever you have, use that. I think I've told you guys, my father never saw him preach a sermon. Occasionally, he would lead a prayer, but he had so many other talents he exercised. to bless people. If it's in giving, contributing, let it be generously. My dad practiced that one pretty strongly. And again, it doesn't have to be talent that everybody else can see. It's what God, and my dad, for some reason, just said, I just want to give. Not everybody is that's the thing that drives them. It really drove my dad. So whatever it is, be sure and look at your talents and use them. What do you think keeps us from using our talents? What are some things that keeps us? I was just kind of thinking about this a little bit. Here's some things I wrote down. You will probably think of some others, but here's some things I thought of. One is kind of fear that I'm not going to do as well as I would like to. You know, I remember the first time I gave a lesson in my home church at Sayre, Oklahoma, on a Wednesday night. There was a man in the land of Uz, his name was Job. Job feared God. I quoted about the whole book of Job in 5 minutes. It wasn't a good sermon. It wasn't a good lesson. And I was really fearful. I don't fight that fear quite as much as I used to, but I used to fight it really, really, really hard. My Uncle Herbert, let's see, what would we follow that up here? Bless his heart. He had a training class for us young boys to try to help us to see if we were gifted and even to develop some gifts of song leading. His boys would stand there and cry through the whole song they were leading. My cousins would cry through the whole song. Those guys today lead singing like they're good song leaders. But they I think my uncle could see that, but he knew that extreme fear they had. And he tried to help push them through that. I told you guys the first time I ever spoke publicly. I broke down crying uncontrollably and couldn't finish. I broke down like that crying. I couldn't move. I couldn't go off the stage. I couldn't keep going. But some people helped encourage me. Said, "You've got a real talent there." And I said, "It doesn't look like it or feel like it to me." And I had a lot of fear running through my veins. What keeps us from using our talents? Sometimes it might be fear. Sometimes it might be busyness. Kind of one thing that I don't know, a lot of Americans, we pride ourselves on is being busy. And let's just make sure we're not so busy with other things that we're not going to have the time and make the time sometimes to use the talents God has given us for Him. Again, timidity kind of goes along with fear. Sometimes we... just the last few years, really, more than any other time, I fought a little bit of kind of feeling disrespected in certain circles. I'll just leave that there. But sometimes when you feel a little bit disrespected, you tend not to push forward with your talents. And I encourage you, some of these things, we just have to ask God to help us to get through those, help us to keep on moving. Don't let anyone else judge us and keep us from using the gifts God has given us. I'm thinking, whenever you look in the Bible, Acts chapter 9, at the end of the chapter, do you remember who we're reading about there? Dorcas. She has died, and what are all the people doing? Standing around crying. Acts chapter 9:36, she was known as a lady always doing good, helping the poor. I don't think Dorcas was ever up in front of anybody. I don't think she was ever in a public leadership thing. What was she doing? Just helping. Just doing good. And you see in verse 39, when Peter came to where Dorcas was, she had passed away. The widows were standing around Peter doing what? Showing him the robes and the clothes she had made for them. I don't know how many people still make clothes today. Probably not a lot. But there's a lot of things we can do to bless people that don't have to be up front. It seems like Dorcas had a talent and ability to see what other people needed, and other people needed clothing, and she provided that for them. I think of my good buddy Steve Gregg down in Duncan, Oklahoma. Some of you may know Steve. First trip I took to Australia in 1974, Steve was on that trip. He thought and believed the talents that God had given him had led him to do dentist work. He's been a dentist for years. You know what he does? He does a lot of free dental work for missionaries. He's using the gifts God has given him, using his job that he has to bless other people. And he has blessed so many people through the years. There's a, I think I mentioned a lady at Memorial Road. She said, "All I can do is cook." She's blessed a lot of people by cooking and cooking and serving and cooking and continuing to do that. Do you remember the lady, the sisters, Mary and Martha? Mary and Martha. And you remember when Jesus came to their house and Mary was sitting there listening. And what did Jesus say to Martha? "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. There's something good you're kind of missing out on. That is listening." But one thing about Martha, what did she do? She served a lot of people. We kind of look at that and think Martha missed it, but she also got it right on a lot of. How many times did Jesus go to their house and stay? And who was making preparations for his trips there with the apostles? We had a family spend the night with us last night that we met them for the first time in South Africa. We were there doing a missionary care retreat. They've moved here now. They're spending two nights with us tonight. My wife Nancy has been hospitable to so many people through the years, and that is a gift, a talent, isn't it? And if that is what your gift and talent is, being hospitable, be hospitable. We just about every Sunday in Australia, we would have a family home with us for lunch. The amount of meals Nancy has cooked through the years, and that is just extending a very powerful biblical gift of hospitality. I hope she wouldn't mind me saying this. She could hardly boil water when we got married. And again, she would agree with that. Her mother was diagnosed with a lung disease when Nancy was young. Nancy would want to learn how to cook. Her mother said, "I don't have the energy to cook and to talk to you about it. Go vacuum." My wife can clean like nobody's business. Believe you me, when we got married, she was a cleaning machine. She didn't know how to cook. And I came from a cooking family. I'd watch my grandmother, I'd work with my mother, and I love cooking. And we've had several discussions through the years, if you can imagine. And we'd finish breakfast, I'd say, "What's for lunch?" And she said, "We just finished breakfast, what are you talking about?" I'm a food guy. I'm always thinking ahead for the next meal or the next two meals. But she took cooking classes. She got with other ladies who are good cooks. Other people are good cooks. I don't know how many gazillion meals she has cooked for people. It wasn't her strength at one time. I get to tell you some funny stories about us and stuff, but she wanted to learn how to do that, to be more hospitable and extend the biblical gift of hospitality. This weekend, we've got the couple there with a husband and wife and their young boy. And again, guys, some of you may have that gift of hospitality. Martha and her sister Mary had it, but it seems like Martha was the strength of those two sisters in the area of hospitality. And how beautiful is it for you to extend hospitality to someone else, to sit at a table and put your feet under the same table and to talk and to share together is something very biblical and very powerful. I had lunch with a student last week at two cups of coffee in our coffee shop or whatever at OC with students. I'm gonna have lunch with another student this week and probably who knows what, but it's kind of hospitality and using that in ministry. The first week of class in my Life of Christ class, I said, "Don't write your name on your piece of paper. I'm going to ask you some questions. I just want you to answer them honestly, knowing that I won't know who you are. Number one, tell me your spiritual experience. You've been to church any? A lot? Some?" Probably had about 25% say, "Never been to church in my Life of Christ class," or "been to church very little." Probably about 60% said, "I've been to church quite a bit." One of the ladies put on her quiz, Kent, I won't be in class on Tuesday. My husband and I are going to finalize an adoption. So when she came to class on Thursday, because she wasn't in class on Tuesday, I said, are you the lady who wrote on your sheet that you're going to finalize adoption? She said, yes, I am. And I said, are you Melissa? She said, I'm Melissa. 41 years old. And she and her husband, guys, felt that God wanted them to open their home up to a baby. The mother gave birth in prison. She said, we felt called to adopt a baby whose mother was in prison. So she said, we went to the prison. We're there for the birth of the child in the prison. Then we took the baby home with us when we were able to, kept it for quite a while, maybe about a year. The mother got out of prison, so then the baby went back to the mother. We had visiting rights. We didn't know what was going to happen. She said the mother was out of prison about 2 weeks and murdered someone and had the young child there with them. She said, now the child is ours. And we're going to try to raise this child to love God. I think that's kind of a gift of caring so much. You're going to open up and take care of someone else. I love that. You know, Heidi and Adam, our daughter and son-in-law in Hawaii, they have done foster care for several kids. I love that they do that. Not everyone could do that. Not everyone probably feels like, I can adopt. But for the people who do, what a beautiful thing. And I think that's a gift God has given them, and they're exercising that gift. And she shared with my class that is what she was doing. You know, my good buddy Tony Kazee, he felt like his gift and talent was preaching. Just finished 26 years in Manford, Oklahoma, retired. My brother preached for 30 years. I hope we have some young guys that keep filling God's call to preach the gospel to other people, and that they won't be scared because I'm not going to make as much money, not going to be scared because I'm going to have to say some things that people don't want to hear, but that I feel God wants me to do this, and I will do that. Looking at what is your gift, and if God has given you that gift, to use that gift. You guys, we talked about Nehemiah, didn't we, for several weeks. What was Nehemiah's gift? What do you think? Huh? Okay. Yes, that was one of them. What was another gift he had? Leadership. Do you think it was leadership? Do you think it was motivating people? We mentioned this as we went through, but I just want to remind you, Nehemiah had a cushy job taste testing the food for the king. It was easy. He didn't have to use the gifts God had given him, but he saw things weren't right, and he decided, I am going to use this gift of leadership, of getting people organized, getting them motivated to work, and do that. So, yeah, all through the Bible, we're seeing people who are stepping out, not in easy circumstances, and we said none of that Nehemiah did was easy. Again, people were disrespecting him. They were calling him names, calling the children of Israel names. But guys, he stepped out and used his gifts. I just want you to think today, what are my gifts? And we're not going to have a talent show this afternoon to see what they are. We're not talking about that. But I hope you will, all of us will kind of listen to people. And people kept saying to me, I think you have the gift of communicating with people. I couldn't see that myself, all right? So I kind of listened and thought, maybe I do. Sometimes there are tests, and some of you know, tests you can take. I think our students in school, they do some tests like that. What are your strengths? Where are your talents? Well, maybe we can use those for a job we have. Maybe we can also use those in serving and ministering for God. I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul and in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, people said, in person, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, in person, He is unimpressive. And his speaking amounts to nothing. That's what Paul's critics were saying. You know, historians say Paul was probably short. His hair had a little trouble staying in. He might have been a little bit bow-legged. And that's how they described the Apostle Paul historically. But they said, yeah, he's nothing to listen to, really. He's not that good. He's not impressive at all. What did the Apostle Paul do anyway? He just kept on going. He kept on teaching. And you read later in 2 Corinthians, so many times he was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked, etc. But he kept using his gifts and abilities and talents for God. He met a guy and got him onto Aquila and Priscilla. The guy was named Apollos. What did they say about Apollos? Mighty and eloquent in the scripture. No one ever accused Paul of being that way. But what did he do? He kept planting churches. He kept going on asking God to use him, not because he thought he was anything great, because he knew God was great and wanted people to know God. I'm going to finish up with this passage today of Matthew chapter 25. It's a passage we're familiar with. Matthew chapter 25, guys, there are three judgment parables in Matthew 25. And one of those has to do with this very concept we're talking about this morning. And Jesus continues as he's talking about judgment, and he says, "This it will be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and another 1 talent, each according to his ability." And guys, we all probably understand this was money that the master was giving to them, but it was according to their ability. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, "You should have done a lot better than that." No, the master didn't reply that, did he? The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, guys. Listen to this. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. If we use what God has given us, will he maybe give us more?" I think my talents have expanded since I have used some of them. Some of you probably say, "I can see, you know, when I first started, this is about all I could do, but I kept doing things. And God blessed me with more opportunities and more abilities, maybe." The man, verse 22, with the 2 talents also came to the master. And he said, "You entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid," that word that we said might cause us not to use our talents, fear, "I was afraid. I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed." You knew that, did you? I just wonder, is that really true, what he said? Is that really true, that God harvests where he hadn't sown? And I'm wondering, in my feeble mind, did this servant have a wrong view of God? Did he have the master saying, you're mean, you're cruel, you're harvesting where you haven't even sown? The master said, "Oh, you knew that, did you? I wonder if that's a sarcastic sort of reply. You knew that, did you? Oh, okay. I'm not sure that Jesus is agreeing with that assessment. I'm not sure God is one who's a cruel, unkind master who tries to harvest where he doesn't sow. I think maybe the servant had a wrong, bad view of God. And he let that fear send him the wrong, cause him not to do anything. Anyway, that's just something for you to think about. So he said, the master replies, verse 26, so you know I harvest where I've not sown, gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, you would have received interest. You would have received it back with interest. I have a banker friend. He said, man, he really slams us bankers. At least you could have put it in the bank and got something for it. But he said, but you didn't even do that. You just went out and dug a hole and did nothing. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And that last verse 30, throw that worthless servant outside. Wow, those are strong words, aren't they? Very strong words for someone who did not use the talent the master had given them, the talent God had given them. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. None of that sounds good. Growing up on the farm, my dad, was not into spending any extra money. And periodically, I would forget to do something. I remember when I was about 5 or 6 or so, I would have forgotten to do something, and he would have seen it. Guys, he didn't do it for me. He didn't cover my tracks. What did he do? Son, go outside and do that. Man, it was dark out there. I had no lights at all. It was dark. Can you... All the imagination, you know, started really running rampant. Every bad creature that was out there to devour me, to eat me up and all that. I just didn't want to go out there as a young kid. I remember being really scared, but I was a little bit more afraid of my dad than I was of the darkness of what he might do. So I would go out there. What would I do as well? Or seeing anything to kind of, I don't know, that seemed to help me. Darkness, who wants that? Who wants that? Any of you ever have a roommate or a child that would grind their teeth? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you did, that is not fun. You're the, as I say to my students, the gnashing of teeth. And they say, do you not? Yeah, I know that's a silent G. Okay, I'm just kidding with them. But when you hear that, it's not a good sound. And take the servant, put him outside into darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Crying, I just don't like to be around a lot of crying. But Jesus says, use your talents. You have one. Comparison, guys, comparison is the thief of joy. Don't compare, I've got one talent, to someone who's got five. If you have one talent, Jesus says, use it. Romans chapter 12, whatever your talent is, it may be something that hardly anybody else sees. That's okay. Use it. Jesus is calling us and wanting us as part of his body to support the body, to help build the body up, and that is as we all work together and use our abilities. In this passage, he's wanting us to realize we may all have different talents, but don't make excuses. Don't say, God is mean and I will never please him. Guys, you're living by faith. You're serving God to the best of your abilities. He's loving that. And the best of your abilities will not be like some other people is. But if it's your best, God is pleased with that. He wants us to use our talents and our abilities that he has given us for his glory. And I pray that we'll all just be considering again, what are the gifts God has given me? Maybe talking with other people, let them help me to assess maybe some things they can see in me that may be talents and abilities God has given me that can be used for His glory and honor. As we do that, the body will be built up, His church will be strengthened, and who knows, He may give us more abilities and more gifts as we use the things He's given us. Guys, this is, if there's anyone that needs prayers of the church this morning, we would be really happy to pray with you this morning. If there's anyone that needs to be baptized into Christ, become a child of His, be added to His body, have your sins forgiven, we would love to witness your baptism and help with that this morning. If there's any way we can help you spiritually, please let us know. We'll stand and sing a song of encouragement.